Amen. Please be seated. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, if anyone aspires to be an overseer, elder, word for that, he aspires to a noble task. A noble task it is. It's one to lead a church. It's not necessarily for the faint of heart. So, as I said, we need to pray for them. Today you get to see our elders, five of them, face to face. And I would ask you, as you come up, that you would introduce yourself. Craig Crandall, Dwight Drapella, Bert Welton, Gordy Whips, and Jim Whitehead will be speaking to you. And I'm going to go ahead and introduce the chairman of our elder board, and that is Craig Crandall.
Suggested to the elders that we take some time on a Sunday morning with the congregation and let you guys get to know us a little bit better and let you know the hearts of these men a little bit better and to be inspired by them because they have testimonies about God's goodness. And we're going to take some time to talk about that. It's a real privilege to be able to do that. The elders serve as overseers of the church, as Tom mentioned, in accordance with Christ's direction to his apostles, with the purpose of maintaining a focus on God's truth in the teaching of the word here in the church, and the encouragement and instruction of the saints, and really alignment to the gospel message and the Great Commission that we've been given as a church family and as a body of Christ. Submitting to God's direction through prayer and seeking the word, the elders serve planning and facilitating the different ministries of our church, making recommendations to the church family on important matters as they arise. We typically have about seven elders on the board. Right now we're in this little time frame at the beginning of the year when we actually have 10. We just appointed three new elders. Three elders do come off the board officially today during the annual business meeting as we come to a conclusion there. So we've kind of split the duties between the two services because we couldn't get all 10 here in one service unless you wanted to be here at least 2.5 hours. So, but we'll have five of us talking today. As Tom mentioned, Bert Welton, Dwight Drapella, Gordy Whips, and Jim Whitehead, and myself. And the other gentlemen, Reggie Wardle, Ron Cleese, Todd Jones, Dave Sucher, and Gary Larson, talked in the first service, and I think some of you enjoyed their testimonials. Pastor Bill asked each of us to come prepared to talk about a little about four basic things. Really, first, talking about the mercies God has shown us, testimonials of God's mercy to them. Just a brief personal testimony. How long they've served as an elder and what roles they've served in that role, and then in other aspects of the church, how they've served. And then really what they enjoy most about that role as an elder. I'll be very intrigued to hear the different takes on that, because I know it's a very meaningful thing, but in a different way probably to each of us. And then one special hope that each of them have for our church family. And without further ado, I'm going to let Jim Whitehead come up and start us off and tell us a little from his heart. Thanks, Jim.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Some of you out there are probably on a bit of a guilt trip now, because I am the elder that is involved in getting people into the membership interviews. And some of you have said, oh yeah, I'm going to do that. Man, I meant to do that. Well, here's your chance to write a note to yourself. Get over to the office, fill out the application, it's very easy, and we'll have you become an elder. Not an elder, you can do that down the road. You can become a member, and then at the annual meeting, you actually get to vote. So, anyhow, one other thing, you guys sang a song here, I Surrender All. Did you pay any attention to what you were saying to the Lord? When you sing, pay attention to it. But anyhow, I wasn't brought up here to preach. So, I listened to the first five guys in the first service, and nobody had the background that I have, and maybe one of these other four do. I was raised in the church that my grandparents started. And our house was maybe the same distance as from here to our ballpark. There was never an excuse to miss church. Literally, you'd almost have to walk out of your way to avoid church. I had godly grandparents on both sides of the family. My parents raised us in a very godly home. So all I've ever known when it comes to a Christian life is what I saw around me all the time. And I was extremely fortunate. I was saved when I was six. One of the things we kids were taught was we didn't become Christians just because we were born in a Christian home or because my grandparents started the church. I went back, because the church is still there, actually it's being pastored now by my nephew. I went back to that little room in the basement with one little window because I remember the day that I was saved. The sun was shining, it came right through the window, shined on me, and my Sunday school teacher said, Jimmy, would you like to be saved? I knew all about Christianity as a six-year-old can know, and that was, I was saved then. So it's been over 70 years. I'd like to say that I always walked exactly like I should have, but that wouldn't be the truth. I know I didn't go out and kill, and I was about as morally pure as you could be, but I don't know that my heart was always where it should have been. As I grew up and matured, I felt like I was getting closer to walking the way that I should. I have been on the board at this church. This is my ninth year. In the previous church that Bev and I went to, I served on that board for 4 years. And it's a great honor to serve as an elder in a church board. What have I done besides try and convince you that membership is important? Well, for 20 years, I worked in the church nursery here. And those of you who have been around for a while know that the church nursery wasn't always where it is. It was what is now the office. And I had the joy of working in there for 20 years, and somebody asked me why I quit. Well, I had made a decision that when the first baby that I had in the church nursery got married, it was time for me to get out. That happened 20 years after I'd been in there, and I have no regrets on that decision. I do have to tell you a story of one of the ladies we had here, a young couple. After about a year and a half of marriage, they had a baby. And the mom brought the baby into the nursery, and literally every 5 minutes, mom came back to check and see if the baby was okay. And I assured her that the baby was okay. 4 years later, she had another baby. Actually, it was her third one by that time. She brought the baby in, plopped it on the counter, said, "I'll see you after church," and she was gone. That was my learning, okay? When you're a third or fourth child, not much you can do. I also served as Sunday school superintendent for a while. If you were in the first service, you heard the elders talking about what they consider to be the best part of being an elder. And the fellowship you have with the other elders at our monthly board meeting and monthly prayer time is worth more than you can ever explain. You have either 7 or 10 guys, depending how many are there, solely focused on prayer for you folks, for the church, for people that are hurting. That, to me, is worth everything. Does it take time to serve on the board? Yeah, our meetings last anywhere from 3 to 3.5 hours. Well, they'd be shorter if Craig would listen to me and say, "We need to cut this off," but he doesn't, he's still going. He is a great moderator, by the way. But going to those meetings and the prayer times, there's no amount of money that you could pay to get that. So what's my goal for the church? I don't think it's ever altered. I would like to make sure that we all grow spiritually. I'm not concerned about numbers. Numbers don't tell me anything. Spiritual growth is what we're after, and that's the prayer of the elder board as a whole. Keep your focus on the Lord. Thank you.
Gordy, would you like to come up and share with us at this point? Thanks.
I've become a member of this church in August of 2016, and it's largely because of my parents' friendship with Pastor Bill and Carol when they lived next door. And I grew up in a Christian home, was saved as a young boy, as I shared last Sunday. My mom reminded me that I was sitting on a yellow stool when in the kitchen while she was baking a pie, and I said I wanted to trust in Jesus as my Savior, and I prayed with my mom there as a young boy, and it just makes me realize I have been privileged to grow up in a Christian home, and I wouldn't be who I am if it weren't for my parents and my wife and her parents, and it's just a wonderful privilege. I'm only serving in my first term, second year as a elder here, and it has really been a wonderful gift. I served as a pastor for 35 years, and in 170th and Division in Montana, and then for 24 years in Central Washington. And when we were near the, I've been a pastor there for about 23 years. We brought in a man who graduated from Multnomah and went to, and from Gresham High School. And he pretty much, I mentored him, and he took my place, went from an associate to becoming the new pastor. And I had the conviction that I was to come back to Portland to help care for my parents as they age. And so I have a real heart for older people. I pastored in a retirement town, and I just believe everyone in our church is vitally important. And so that's what Nancy and I do right now, is we care for my mom. My dad did pass away last spring, and Pastor Bill graciously did the service for my dad, And now we're caring for my mom, who's in her 100th year of life. And it's just a wonderful privilege to be able to do that. As a former pastor, I care for the people who are pastors of this church. So Pastor Raymond, Pastor Bill, Pastor Tom, and I want to be a support for them. I want to be a comrade in arms with them. And so that's part of just who I am, the way God made me. And I copied down a couple verses, only 52 words, and it's from Romans 16, and I'm studying right now to teach on the book of Romans this summer. And this is a tribute to a great woman. And in Romans 16, there's 20 times it greets other people or groups of people. But in the first two verses, it doesn't use that word greet. It says, I commend officially, or I introduce with a letter of commendation to you in Rome, our sister Phoebe. So a fellow believer in God's family. She is a deaconess, a female servant of the church in Cenchrea, which was across the isthmus from Corinth. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people, and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a benefactor, a patron of many people, including me, Paul said, or myself as well. And we just want to be so thankful for the women. I'm in a role with the adult ministries, both men and women, and Jewel Jocelyn is here, and I know she's one of the fine ladies of our church, and we just want to express our appreciation for all that the ladies do. People like Phoebe, who are female servant leaders for the church, and we just give God. We are so grateful for all that the women do in this in our church family. Also with the Men's Academy, we are meeting, Lord willing, this Saturday morning after our elder prayer. And one of the presentations that we're going to have next month would be Superheroes Can't Save You. And it's a very Christ-centered book that we want to encourage our families and to read with the children. And so that's just an exciting event that we have ahead. And as an elder board, we truly want to be of support to Pastor Bill. We know he is probably one of the hardest working pastors there is. And he needs a little sabbatical for a couple months. And so the elder board has decided to do a Christ-centered presentation of the book of Colossians. And we hope to begin that with Pastor Raymond next Sunday, and for 10 weeks to have that. And so we just want to give, until Easter, Pastor Bill just that opportunity to recoup and go through the process. And so let's just bow in prayer for Pastor Bill. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for the gift of the pastors of this church. And we pray that you will just pour out your blessing upon Pastor Raymond next Sunday as he begins this Christ-centered study of Colossians. We pray for Pastor Tom, too, and his part of making the Word of God clear. And, Lord, we pray for Pastor Bill as he goes into it for his immunization tomorrow and labs to follow up the next couple days. Would you sustain him by your all-sufficient grace? And we claim your promise that when Jesus said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, we pray that you will grant that for Pastor Bill. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, and I appreciate the most, not our elder board, everything, but
thank you, Gordy. Dwight, could you step up? Thank you.
Well, good morning. My name is Dwight Trapella, and I've been blessed to be married to my wife, Tracy, for 29 years, and been blessed also with two daughters, Emily and Isabel. And Tracy and I have attended Wood Village Baptist Church for 27 years, almost 27, I believe. We started in 1993, and it's been such a blessing, and we're so grateful. I trusted the Lord at a young age and was baptized also at a young age. I grew up in a Christian home, but much of my teenage and young adult years were filled with self-pride, a lot of focus on possessions, and just getting by in my Christian walk. I don't see myself as being real useful for the Lord. There may have been periods, but not anything that was consistent. I kind of like to do things my own way. And you probably heard that song, Did It My Way. I don't think that's very good theology. A turning point and rededication in my life took place when our daughter Emily was born. There were complications, and even to the point that the doctor didn't believe she would live more than 2 weeks. And, what changed for me was the importance of prayer. Being brokenhearted and out of options when the pain was so great, all I could do is turn to God alone. Daily prayer became priority and a focus on the present day, asking God to give us the strength to just get us through this day. Matthew 6:34, Jesus says, "So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." That passage became very important because I was just looking forward to get through each day. Didn't know what lied ahead, but just help us, Lord, to get through this day. And through prayer, I experienced God's peace. Philippians 4:7 talks about the peace that passes all understanding. It's amazing. It's a gift from God. I really can't explain it because I really didn't know if our children survived. But so grateful for God's peace. Knowing that He was greater than our circumstance, and knowing that His grace is sufficient. Also, what was taking place in my life was my pride-filled heart was being replaced with humility, with a humble heart. I felt like I could be useful for God. I think it's kind of hard to be useful for Him when your heart is filled with pride. I love 1 Peter 5, 6-7 that says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." Thankfully, God had other plans about Emily. I'm glad the doctor was wrong. And currently, she's on target to graduate or complete grad school in August and to graduate. So grateful for that. Thank you. And then, so I'm grateful for the experience that even though that was really, really hard, I'm so grateful that the Lord allowed me to go through that. Yeah, it seemed like when life was rosy for me, I was able to slide by knowing about Jesus, but in suffering, I really got to know Him. And I wouldn't trade that for anything. Also, one thing that really changed was my desire to grow in my relationship with the Lord and my love for Him. and to be useful for Him. There's so much joy in serving the Lord. I love John 15, and to paraphrase it, when Jesus says to abide in Him, the true vine, that you may bear fruit, and that His joy may be in us, and our joy made full. There's nothing compared to the joy of the Lord. The world can't offer it. It's the joy of the Lord that is enduring. I've had the privilege to serve on the elder board for three-year terms, and also as elder liaison to children's ministry and missions ministry. Also had been blessed to teach Sunday school, grade school age, and also serve up in the sound booth, projecting the words for the music here on the screen. And then also to serve with a team at Cherry Park Retirement Living to have a church service there on the second and fourth Sunday of the month. I get to serve with some guys that are so blessed to be gifted Bible teachers, and then also the privilege to prepare music for that service with my wife Tracy. So we lead the music there. It's an amazing ministry. Means so much to those folks, but I can't tell you how much that means to us. It has been a wonderful blessing. What I enjoy most serving with the elder board is, of course, being with these men. I love these guys. They have so much wisdom, I think a lot more than myself, but I've learned a lot from them, and it's a privilege to serve with them. Also, at our board meetings and of course, prayer time the last Saturday of the month. The priority is prayer. Praying for our church family, praying for our dear pastor, praying for each other, encouraging each other. And it is just such a joy and a blessing. One special hope that I have for Wood Village Baptist Church, and I know this isn't original, but keep teaching the Word of God, keep caring for people, because that really, I believe, brings honor to God, and that's what really matters. Thank you.
Bert Welton, could you come and join us and share?
Hello, I'm Bert Welton, and as I would travel along life's journey, I'd like to mention the word mercy. Mercy has been like the capstone or markers throughout our lives. My wife Beverly, or Bev as she's known. We also have a flower ministry during the summertime. It's a little difficult this time of the year. But I'd like to get off on the word mercy. Recently I had the opportunity of asking myself, where is mercy? And I thought back to the Old Testament, when you have the Ark of the, well, you have the tabernacle, and in the last one-third of the tabernacle is the Holy of Holies. And inside that Holy of Holies, the high priest could only go twice a year on the Day of Atonement and on the Day of Passover. He could only go in there with a blood sacrifice and sprinkles and offering up the incense. In that room was called the Ark of the Covenant. That Ark of the Covenant had the Ten Commandments laying inside of it. On top of that was a platform of 2x4 feet, and that was called the Ark, the Mercy Seat, excuse me. Why is it Mercy Seat? Because on each end of that 2x4 platform was an angel, a golden angel, with its wings arched over, and that represented, that was where God would sit. That was the Mercy Seat. And so when I think of the word mercy, I think of how God in His rich mercy
reached down and gave me eternal life. It wasn't because of anything that I did, but it was only by his mercy that he came down and that he has came and given himself for each one of us. And that he has done that not so that we might live a life apart from God, but we live a life unto God. I grew up in a liberal church. I thought I knew God. When I met my wife, I told her I knew Jesus. Her grandpa, Tony, was an individual that was on fire for the Lord. He accepted the Lord late in life in his 40s, and he was a ball of fire. And he had his one desire. He says, there's a lot of people that think they're going to heaven, but are going to be greatly disappointed when they reach that spot. 1970, my wife and I were married. This year we'll honor 50 years. And by his mercy, we have come that far. It's not by anything that I've done, it's a lot that my wife has given her credit for and her understanding God's mercy. We were married. 1974, made the decision. I was in partnership with my folks for a dairy farm. Decided the Lord wanted me to go off into further schooling called Northwestern College of St. Paul. So we picked up, we had our son and daughter yet to be born that fall. I began pulpit supply that fall, and I continued in that effort until 1989, and in between I pastored a church for 2.5 years up in La Porte, Minnesota. By God's mercy, he enabled us to have a ministry. By God's mercy, he led us into that adventure. By God's mercy, he opened up doors to attend Western Seminary. By his mercy, he got us here. We had a week and a half full of adventure. Every day brought a new piece of excitement and ability to trust and lean upon God. When we got here, God in his rich mercy had provided Wood Village Baptist Church. That was one of my prayers that preceding fall. We arrived here in 83, and we've been here since. But that winter of 83, I'd asked God, we're going to start off on a new journey. Don't know where it is, but by then we had 3 children, Brent, Kara, and Don. Don was probably only 2 at that time. And I asked, Lord, we need a place for our children to grow up to love you. Pray for a place that's close by, because we only have 1 car, and that's not only sometimes, it's just not good transportation. So we only over here in Fairview, and that's where we began. Lord provided for our son and daughter richly. He provided lifelong friends. He provided that spiritual strength and growth by his mercy. Since 89, I graduated from Western Seminary, and since 89, I've been in the professional moving business, which meant I have some very long hours. And I began to accept that my ministry was to the people I worked with and served. By his mercy, he enabled me to be ministering to those about me. Came about, I have not kept track of the years, but I think I've been serving more actively in the last 12 years. And I began because there was a men's Bible study. And I thought, well, I've got Tuesday nights available. I'll start attending Bible study. After a short, brief time, that leader needed to go, and I began in the role of leadership. Now, to offer a challenge to you by His mercy, He privileged me to be in that spot. I have greatly appreciated that role. It was just a one step out. I didn't intend to become an elder. I didn't intend to become a leader. But I began a small step. And I challenge you as well that we need people, men and women, young men and women, to begin that first step, to realize it's by His mercy. One of the concepts that's kept with me throughout the years of understanding God's mercy is that God's word is true. That what God says, it is true. If He has given you a point in the scripture, like John 6 this morning, I was studying out of John 6, and John was telling about Jesus feeding the 5,000, and he said it was just a day, it was just Passover is coming. What's so special about Passover? Why did John take that point of dropping Passover in? He wanted them to understand that when he is going to talk about the bread of life, that he was the Passover bread. The Passover that had been indicated in Moses' day was now coming to fruition in Jesus' day. The Son of God, who taketh away the sins of the world, is by His mercy that He has come. It's asking little questions like that and understanding that part of the goal that we have as leadership is for everyone to understand that God's word is special, that it is revealing His character. He is doing it so that you can understand and come to a greater grip of who Christ is and all that He wants for you to be fulfilled in. It all begins with that first step. For me, it began just attending. This will be my third term as an elder, and I have a special privilege of serving with Dwight once every 3 months, which isn't perhaps enough at all, but it brings a message to the restaurant ministry. This last time, the Lord blessed with that concept of mercy. Mercy of Psalm 136, which gives it 26 times. It speaks of the character of God, what He's done. That verse concludes, "For His mercy endureth forever." His mercy is with us in prayer meetings, and I richly enjoy that presence. I enjoy the camaraderie. I challenge you to become, if you haven't become, is to ask yourself to become a member of the church, as a church body, to say, I want to be part of this body. I want to grow. I want to experience the mercy of God. And then place yourself one step at a time in the service for Him. Thank you.
I'm supposed to talk now. Thanks, Bert. Thanks, gentlemen. Really appreciate hearing from you. I'm going to share a little bit about my journey with Christ and to Christ. Started with my family's attendance at another denomination as a child, and somehow I always, though, felt my prospects for heaven and hell were dependent upon the merits of my actions. And being human, unfortunately, no matter how good I could be for a moment, or maybe even for a short span of time, it was clear that my actions fell short. My sin was always apparent to me, and because of that, I felt spiritually empty and really without hope, because I knew I just couldn't do it myself.
then God. And that's how it works. He introduced a few key events in my life and in the life of my wife, Connie, in a really short span of time. When we were 25, my brother-in-law got ordained to be a pastor, and we got invited to that. I was just really impressed with his commitment and everything that was happening there. And then shortly after that, some good friends, Connie's best friend from high school and her new boyfriend at the time, who became a good friend of ours, he was converted. He became a believer, and they invited us to his baptism out at Sunnyside Church at the time. And I've never seen a baptism by immersion, and I think I've shared with you how impactful that was for me. And then those same friends, shortly after that, invited us to a drama at Benson High School, a Word of Life drama. That's a company of believers that does dramas and tours throughout the country. And they did a drama on the Book of Revelation. And to our friends' surprise, we agreed to go, and they were excited to have us go with them to that drama. Through the drama, for the first time, I was convicted as Christ was portrayed as the all-sufficient, fully qualified, completely sufficient, once and done Lamb of God. He did it once and for all, dying for us on the cross. I had never understood that truth. And then, as you know, if you've read Revelation, Christ was also portrayed as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I never knew that aspect about God. I never knew that Jesus was more than just a lamb, but that he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he was worthy of my full worship, and not just my secret and selfish prayers that one would offer to a genie. As the performers closed the drama that day and invited those lost persons in the audience to close their eyes and to raise their hands if they believed in the Christ that was portrayed, they invited us to demonstrate that belief by opening our eyes and coming forward and proclaiming him publicly. And lo and behold, as I'm walking out of the aisle, Connie has opened up her eyes too and was following me to the front. And at the time, I didn't know just how significant of a journey Christ was bringing us on. But we began our journey with Christ that day, much to our friends' amazement and excitement. They were just in shock. You know, they just loved it, as we all would. And while we quickly found nearby a Bible-believing church, these same friends of ours, praise God for them, committed to discipling us weekly over the next couple months. And they assigned us the task of setting a daily quiet time, reading through the Gospel of John. And we got to know our Savior more closely and through a different set of eyes than we had ever worn before that. And the pastor of that small Moreland Bible Church on Southeast 17th in Portland began to involve us in groups and in ways to serve in that small church community. And of course, they become lifelong friends. And then when we moved to Ohio for a season of life, the leadership there also emphasized involvement in the church through service and ministry. And then over these last 27 years for Connie and I here at Wood Village, the church body here has continued to emphasize our serving in the church and in the community and reaching out on Christ's behalf to the lost.
And so I've served on the elder board for 15 of the last 21 years. Areas of adult ministries, service ministries, family life ministries, and now more recently as the moderator of the board. And I continue to enjoy serving with many others in our men's ministries and our youth ministries. You know, when you serve with children and youth, what you'll find is that they're the ones that lift you up. And so I encourage you to find a way to be involved with our children and our youth. If that's your first step, that's a great place to start. And the most enjoyable part about serving as an elder is, you know, all these things that the men have mentioned are treasured. But for me, the best thing is knowing that God is in charge of His church. And He's directing the actions and the fruit of His church. And it's so assuring to know that our role is to faithfully and confidently submit to His leadership. We saw that's all of us, and that's even the leaders. We need to submit to His leadership and to not be directed by our personal fears and our limitations. With God, all things are possible. And He's in it for the long game. We need to learn to be as bold as He is, and yet as patient with one another and with the results as He is. As they say, one day with Him is as 1,000 years to us. And we've all benefited deeply and drank deeply from God's leadership and patience and grace. So as I close my remarks, my hope for us is that we'll remain confident in God's love and His presence with His church, unified in purpose, expectant of good things, and especially through trials and change, have that expectant of good, continuing to uplift Pastor Bill and Carol through their healing journey. Because we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. That's a promise, folks. We can claim that every day when we're in a trial. And you can just know for sure God has something good to come. And it's good for you to know that you're all boldly and expectantly prayed for by these men. And we're so grateful for the many ministries that so many of you serve in faithfully. I mean, it is amazing, from little ones to children to growing youth and adults and men and women and other special circumstances and needs that are served. I just am so grateful because you're the ones who are doing it. God's empowering you to do it through the power of His Holy Spirit. And just know that we continue to pray for you to continue to be effective in those ministries and however we can support, facilitate even those we want to know. So I do invite you to inquire, I should say, with the elders at any time on questions that you have about our church, how you can be praying, about new opportunities of ministry that you're observing and are being revealed to you. We'd be very interested to talk and understand how we can be of support. And just want to thank you for taking time today to listen to all of our hearts and get to know us a little bit better. And I want to thank the elders for sharing from the depth of their heart with you all. And just really appreciate having this day together. Tom, do you want to close this up? Thanks, you guys.